No. He just talked to him and said, oh, yeah, salvation by grace. And I like to hear it on TV. I'll watch and say, they'll say, and it's by grace. And I say, oh, yeah, right. I'm going to find out. The Word tells me. Well, you ask them and they'll say, oh, yeah, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Romans 5, 1. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds good, doesn't it? Well, everybody believes it. Everybody gives lip service to it. The way you find out is you ask another question. What do you have to do to be saved? I got an email from a man in Colorado, I believe, way out there somewhere. And he said, I saw your website. And he said, it's the greatest thing I ever saw. I have a problem with the church. I teach a Sunday school class, and they were saying, I was teaching grace gospel, and they were saying, no. Our pastor gives an invitation every Sunday, and it's a different thing they have to do every Sunday. Well, that's what happens. And they say, you have to repent of your sins, turn from your sins, confess Jesus before men. You have to tell somebody. You hear that a lot of places. Ask Jesus to come into your heart or life. Promise to serve Jesus all your life. Go forward in a church. Join a church. Be baptized. Make a decision for Christ. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, I don't object to most of that as far as what you ought to do. But not for salvation. Believe. We're going to hear that. That's what John says. So, what does the Bible say about these additions? The purpose of the first three Gospels is to tell us why they wrote their Gospel. The Gospels are not trying to tell us all that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. The Gospels are not a life of Christ. John says it would be impossible to write everything Jesus did, so he didn't do that. In John 21:25, he says this, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Can you imagine? All that Jesus did would just fill the place up with books telling what Jesus did. They couldn't do it all. They did it because they were looking for a particular facet. They wouldn't tell you something about Jesus and what he did and what he said, and they gave their pointed message. It's like the hymn, Love of God. Remember that? The love of God is greater than, and so forth. It said, if we could ink with the ocean fill, and if were the sky a parchment made, and were every man, every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. You get that figure? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. I can see people filling up their pens and drain the ocean dry, writing down the love of God. The same is true of Jesus, what he did. So each of the writers takes a part. He states his own purpose, and then he chooses events and discourses to demonstrate that purpose. Matthew wants the people to know that Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the King of Israel. And he starts off, he says, the son of David, son of Abraham. That's Jewish. He's looking right at them. Here's what your king says. He's fulfilling the promises of God. Then he said at the end of his book, chapter 23, toward the end, 37 and 39, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone the ones who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered you your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And prophecy tells us they're going to do that. And when they do that, he will be their king again, king of Israel. That's Matthew. Now Mark says, he's trying to present the Lord as the suffering servant. The key verse is Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know what's notably missing in Mark? No Sermon on the Mount. Well, why not? Well, because a servant has no business telling people what to do. He's not showing him as the king. He's showing him as the servant. He was a servant. Luke, on the other hand, is to present Jesus as the Son of Man, the Savior of the world. The key verse is 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not just the Jews, the whole world. That which was lost. He starts off by saying that he is to present Jesus as Messiah. Oops, no, sorry. Sorry about this. I got it. Oh, he's writing it to a man named If it's not in my notes, I'm in trouble.
Theophilus,
thank you. Theophilus. Theophilus. Lover of God. But it's a Jewish name. Theophilus. Not a Jew, for the world. The world. It was Jews and Gentiles. That's all the Bible knew. That's what they were. The dividing things between Jews on the one hand, Gentiles on the other. Luke says Jesus died for the Gentiles as well. All right, so John. John's purpose is to present Jesus as Messiah, the Son of God, and to show that those who believe in him have eternal life. Now, the key verse, and these are the verses we're looking at in our series on John. Truly, Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and having and believing, you may have life in his name. That's it. He wants you to see Jesus. Believe in him. Receive eternal life. That's the entire book. Now, he has three emphases in this gospel. First of all, he starts with the deity of Christ. If we're going to believe on him for eternal life, we have to know that there has to be a God, a Savior who is God, deity. He begins with Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, he builds around that gospel, and you know, the teacher in me wants to spend time there on John 1:1, but I can't do that. But he is, the Word was God, and that is what it means, God, the God. He builds the gospel around seven miracles and seven I Ams. Can you read that? I'll tell you what it says. The seven signs, the seven miracles, water into blood, chapter 2, the healing of the official son, chapter 4, the healing of the invalid of Bethesda, chapter 5, the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6, the walking on the water, chapter 6, the healing of the blind man, chapter 9, and the raising of Lazarus, chapter 11. Seven major miracles. Then there are the seven I Ams. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the sheep, the gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the duration. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. These are pictures that he is. I am these things. All of that is to say John is presenting him as the Messiah, the Son of God, and telling people how to receive life through him. Now, the deity of Christ, he is God. And then the duty of man. He says, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's it. The response is, believe, that you may believe. Now, if you don't believe, the gospel is useless. Jesus Christ died for the world. He died for that sinner in the gutter, the down and out, and then the up and out as well. All people. He died for them. It does them no good unless they hear it. And the reason Jesus didn't take you to be with him when you believed is because he wanted you to stay here and tell people about that. Well, that you may believe. Then he says, when you believe, there's an evangelistic intent that believing you may have life in his name. What kind of life? Eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever! That's right. Forever. Now, the condition then for salvation. Now, how the condition is stated. Believing is a clear condition. Believe. That's what he says. Whoever believes. Doesn't add one thing. Whoever believes. And by the way, he doesn't add anything all through his whole book. He uses the term believe 98 times. 98. And the other three Gospels use it 34 times. And the rest of the New Testament uses the word 16 times. Now, so it means then that John uses the word believe twice as much as the rest of the whole Bible, the whole New Testament. And he uses it three times as much as the other Gospels put together. You think John believes in believing? That's it. So he presents this as a response to the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's it. It's used in several constructions. To believe that. I used to have a pastor who taught, and I've seen him do this. He put a feather or something, anything light, on top of his Bible. He says, "If you believe on," so watch this, and it goes. So if you just believe on him, and then you can, and then you put that thing. Got the thing, put it up in his Bible. Didn't go anywhere. So you have to believe in Jesus. You can't believe on him. You have to believe in him. Well, I found it when I started studying Greek. It's the same word, very often, same word, translated different ways. So what I'm saying to you is that in, whether it says in or on or believe that, it's all the same thing. You believe him. You believe him. You believe, trust him. Believing in him, what he says. You believe that. When I believe, I get an eternal life. How do I do that? Because he said so. I trust him. I believe him. So I'm saying, so believing. But you can't believe in someone without believing that what he said is true. So basically, one of those implies the other. In, on, believe that, whatever. So, believing denotes trust in someone. It assumes assent to the faithfulness and trustworthiness of that person or whatever is claimed. So the definition of faith in the John's Gospel. Faith is trusted reliance on Christ's promise to give eternal life to those who believe. That's it. Now, believing has a consistent effect, eternal life. And the example, a good example, is found in John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has, present tense, has. So you believe and you have eternal life in the present tense. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed. That's perfect tense. Meaning, he passed and he stays past. The effect still lasts. So I came here, I believe. From here on, I can say, I have believed. And I still believe. I still have it. I have eternal, I got eternal life, I still have eternal life. Because the tense there. So anyway, he's passed from death to life. Now, how the condition is illustrated. Several places, he uses a different term, but it means believe, as you'll see. He says, look, John 3:14-15, Jesus refers back to, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Remember that? There were poisonous snakes in the camp, and people were dying. And Moses prayed, Lord, what shall we do? And he said, make a serpent out of brass, put it on a pole, put it up in the camp, and whoever looks at that will receive healing. So Jesus, remember, this is Jesus saying this. It's in the Word, so it's because it's in the Word, it's true. But Jesus saying it helps me a little bit. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So he's lifted up on the cross, I take it. So anybody who believes on him has eternal life. Same as look. They looked at the serpent and they were healed. We look to Jesus and we're saved. We used to sing a chorus, look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word, hallelujah. It's only that we look and live. That's it. It's true. Here is another word. He says in John 10, verse 16, the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. They hear the voice, they're in the flock. So hear and believe, same thing in that instant. 26, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. They didn't hear the voice. They're not his sheep. Now, enter John 10. Jesus, speaking of himself as the door, says, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters, he will be saved. If you enter by Jesus, you will be saved. So entering isn't just another synonym of believe. Drink. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Drink. Come. 5:40. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Coming. Having life. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and he that comes to me I will no wise cast out. John 6:37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his very innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Receive is another one. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, How do I know that receive is like believing? He says, even to those who believe on his name. See, receive, believe, synonyms. Now, how is a condition presented? It's presented with no qualifiers, nothing to qualify it. We don't see, here's what you don't see in the Bible, whoever really believes, whoever truly believes. Likewise, no word like genuine faith or real faith or effectual faith. One either believes or he doesn't believe. That's it. Because if you aren't careful, they say, well, did you really believe? Well, I'm not sure whether I really believed. I believed. You know, that kind of thing. Just not there. Notice, this is not because John never uses those words. He uses words like the true light. He is the true light, the true bread, the true vine, the true worshipers, true God, disciples indeed. Now, see, he uses those words, but not with salvation. So belief is belief. And then also the absence of other conditions. It's believe. And John's purpose is to tell how one may receive eternal life. He says so in those two verses. That we may expect that he will tell us all the conditions. He says, I'm writing here so you'll know how you're going to receive eternal life. Then he only gives us one condition, believe. And then there are some others over in here. No, can't do it. He wouldn't do that. The scripture wouldn't allow that. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow that. But he gave us only one condition, no other conditions at all. So none of these so-called conditions is found in John's gospel. Now, he does not give any condition attached to faith or any condition replacing faith. Nothing going with faith, nothing to replace faith. For example, the word repentance does not occur in the book of John. Wow. Is that telling or what? Not there. John 4. You say, well, maybe he didn't find any real bad sinners. Listen to this. John 4. The Samaritan woman had multiple husbands and was living with a man who was not her husband. And she was trying to deceive Jesus all the time about that. He said, call your husband. Oh, well, I don't have a husband. He says, I know you don't. And the one you're living with, that's it. So, what would you say? What would most people say to her? Repent of your sin. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't tell her to repent. Instead, he offered her eternal life for the asking, for the drinking. Whoever drinks this water will have eternal life. What about my... Didn't say anything about that. Believe. You have eternal life. Now, apparently then, asking and drinking are these synonyms for believing. See, there's no problem to those who see repentance as a change of mind. Now, that if that's what you believe repentance is, then there's no problem. Heard about a man who said, one time I was not going to church, but I changed my mind. I went to church, and I got saved. Well, repenting caused him to get a chance to believe. But not repenting of your sin, forgetting your sins, promise never to do that sin anymore. No, none of that. Surrender or commitment of one's life. See, salvation is absolutely free, not conditioned on any human merit or what one does. He doesn't earn it. He doesn't merit it. He doesn't bargain for it. He believes. Well, are there any uncommitted believers in the scripture? Yeah, I just happen to have a couple. secret disciples. Here's one. Joseph of Arimathea, 19:38. He's one who buried Jesus. Nicodemus, 19:39. In John 3, he came to Jesus by night, remember? And then he also helped in the burial. He furnished 100 pounds of things. Jewish rulers, there were Jewish rulers, 1242, said, he who believes in Jesus, but he did not confess him publicly. They believed in Jesus, did not confess him publicly, for fear of being ostracized by the Jews. Wow. They were believers. They didn't tell anybody. That's not good, but you don't go to hell for it. See, John has given a definite statement on what it takes to be saved. And this presentation carries the weight of the purpose statement that you may believe. Now, so if we're going to debate about the gospel, let's begin the debate with the gospel of John. Unless we would accuse him of giving us half a gospel, or easy believism, or a compromising Bible or gospel, or a cheapened gospel. No, none of that. So if we're going to defend the faith, let's begin by defending faith alone in Christ alone. A simple, unconditional, non-meritorious response to accepting and trusting God's promise. Now, so what do we learn? We've learned we must give people something to believe. They have something to believe. John said that you may believe. He had already started with Jesus Christ, Son of God, Messiah. Well, the object of faith is what saves. Object of faith. I believed, and my belief saved me. No, your belief didn't save you. You believed on Jesus. Jesus saved you. It's the object of your belief. You can believe in Muhammad, still go to hell. Believe in Jesus, the object. So the object of faith is the one what saves. We begin by defending faith alone in Christ alone, a simple condition, non-conditional, non-meritorious response of accepting and trusting him as Savior. Now, so the object then is Jesus Christ himself. Now, he's the Son of God. He died for our sins. He rose again. Now, do they have to know all of that? No. Remember Ryrie, Charles Ryrie, just died. And he was a good man. Oh. He would say, when we had prayer, the whole student body, and Ryra told us separately, said, you can tell where a man is, whether he's a first year, second year, third year, or fourth year, by how far he prays through Chafer's theology. 8 volumes of Chafer's theology. He said, that's a short prayer. He only got through the first gospel, the first book of Chafer. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is you don't have to know everything about Jesus in order to believe in him. You believe that he gives eternal life to those who believe in him. That's salvation. but it has to be that Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. We must invite people to believe in Christ as their Savior, and then invite them to, so just invite them to believe. Not ask Jesus into your heart. Where is that? I know in Revelation chapter 2, wrong. It's not there. Give your life to Jesus. Surrender to him as Lord of your life. Promise to serve him. See, what's wrong with that? Well, the problem with that is that down the road, someone might say, I promised to serve him, and there I did something wrong. I guess if I didn't do my part, so he won't do his part. See? If I bring anything to the table, then I might second think my giving. I gave myself to the Lord. No. I surrendered to him as Lord of my life. None of that. See, the Rock of Ages. One verse says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. If I bring something in my hand to give to him, I can't cling to the cross. I think that's maybe in the back of his mind when he wrote that. Nothing in my hands I bring. I cling to the cross. I'm too busy clinging to hold anything in my hands. Can't do that. None of those things. Now, these will confuse people. It'll obscure the simple message of faith alone. They will be concentrating on keeping the Christian life, holding on to it, rather than living it. If you're busy trying to figure out, am I saved? Did I do enough? Did I lose it? If you're thinking about all those things, you can't serve. No, we're saved, solid, assured. Heaven is our home, living forever with the Lord. Now, tell it, live it, rejoice in it, and that's it. See, we can assure people of their salvation on the basis of their having believed the Word of God. And if someone comes with questions, I'm not sure whether I'm saved, take them right back to John 3:16. That's the promise. That's the proof. Not what you did, what you have done, what you could have done, what the Bible says. So, there may be other forms of assurance that secondary, a distant second. The Word of God is the utmost form. So, we must emphasize God's free grace in our gospel. To John, the sin that condemns is unbelief. And what's the cure for unbelief? Belief. That's it. So, there's more. If you're thinking that you may have questions, we have 10 more sermons, 9 more sermons. They're on a MP3. One disc, MP3. It's yours for the asking. I don't have any ready, but it's a... Oh, yeah, of course. On the website, they're free. Just go unload them. Download them. Listen to them. The notes are there. Everything. And this is number one. All right. So, there are 37 books, sermons on the book of Acts in the website. Free. Download. And people who want to give, to add things to, and they'll say, oh, look at this verse. Those verses are answered on the Faith in Christ Alone website, on that point of view, right there. So, then, one more. See, I had that. There it is. Living water. these are there in the back. And on the right as you go out, take one. Now, on the inside cover, you'll see something from Jim. Jim wrote very good. We put it on all of them. They're there. Take one. It's this whole thing, Gospel of John, with footnotes, right out of the GES, or that slant. So help yourself. In the meantime, it's not just for you. Christ died for you, and if you had been the only one on planet Earth, he would have died for you. But you weren't the only one. He died for the whole world, and the whole world doesn't know it yet. And some of them are your neighbors. Tell them. Tracks. Talk to them. And he will have eternal life as you do.